first of all, is there something you've heard last year that's stuck with you until this year?
Shall I start? I think that's a very interesting question. What stuck with me was how committed people were to getting a really, really good police service in Surrey. And people think that Surrey Police does a very good job. That's absolutely no question about that. But they would like to see more police officers on their streets and in their communities. And we're going to do our best to satisfy that.
Thank you. And from my perspective, any community engagement events that we do are always valuable. And what struck me from last year from residents is how interested in policing they are and how supportive of their police service they are too. Of course, they've always got lots of ideas of things that we can do to improve our services. And the stories that always stick with me are those where residents have been victims of crime themselves. So in particular, I remember an event where a number of the attendees had been victims of burglary. And it really brings home the importance of police work and getting it right for people. So we're always keen to listen to their views and their feedback and think carefully about how we can improve our policing services, because we can only do effective policing with the support of residents across the county.
Can you give me an example of something you heard at an event that led to a noticeable change? Can you take me through a chain of something that happened?
Yeah, I can talk about a theme. So one of the things that was raised at last year's events was around people getting feedback from police action. So quite often residents would raise issues with local neighbourhood sergeant or borough commander, the inspector from the area. We would take that away as a team and do things, but not always get back to people. So one of the things that we've been concentrating on this year is, and it's of course been difficult during the pandemic, but we've tried our hardest, is to give regular updates of the activity that we've been doing. So residents, I hope, have seen on the social media feeds and on the information that we've been putting out, regular updates from the neighbourhood teams about the issues that residents have been complaining about and the things that we've done in response. So a practical example of that is the enforcement work that we've done on County Lines drug supply, for example. We have Operation Centurion, which is a joint operation with the Metropolitan Police that looks at taking out at source in London the head of the supply chain and the supply on the street in Surrey at the same time, often with things like premises closures on local estates to reduce the access to those supply routes. And we do our very best to be quite visible about that activity when it's taken place.
And for me, as a specific example, is when we went to a very well-attended meeting in Dorking, Mole Valley, and the subject of cyclists versus motor cars came up, and because Box Hill and so on is a very attractive place for cyclists, and so we promised to take away that issue, and I'm glad to say the force have actually done something about it, and we're, for instance, we've cracked down much more on speeding and antisocial biking behaviour there. That's just an example. We do that across the county, but it's something that actually resonated with me in particular.
Yeah. And if people come along to this year's events, and I hope they do, very, very welcome, they will hear from their local inspector, their local borough commander, about the sort of issues that the team have been working on in recent months. Each of the events has got a short input from the local commander, which covers the issues that have been raised with them locally and what they're doing to tackle them. And that's a good springboard for further discussion and questions from those that are going to attend online as to what more we can do for them over the coming months.
What have you found about the differences between the various boroughs during previous engagements?
Probably Do you want to start, Dave, and then I'll come in? I'll come in.
Let me start. What struck me was not the differences so much as what united people. Surrey is a mosaic: towns, villages, small communities, and some rural, of course. And it was everybody's keenness to make sure that they were as safe as possible. But there were some differences, quite naturally, in, for instance, Mole Valley and Waverley. There was more of an emphasis on rural crime, and people, I think, were worried, still are, that it's rather isolated for a lot of people, and it's how to communicate with the force when things go wrong. Whereas up in Spelthorne, which is more urban, then there was quite naturally more of a focus on drugs, antisocial behaviour in some of the housing estates and some of the parks. But there's more that unites Surrey people than divides them, if I can put it like that.
Yeah, definitely. I would echo the words of the Commissioner there. So there were some enduring themes. So sadly, the availability of drug supply in our communities and the antisocial behaviour that comes with that, I think, probably featured at every meeting. There were some meetings where other issues were more prominent. So in particular, I remember the session at Reigate and Banstead, which focused quite heavily on a local burglary series that had been recently ongoing at the time. Now, thankfully, this year we've had fewer burglaries, and you know the pandemic is a big part of that, with lots of people at home. But nevertheless, it's still an important crime for us to tackle, and we still do see victims despite us being in the midst of the pandemic too. In fact, earlier in the year, we saw more commercial burglaries that needed a different set of tactics to deal with. So. Lots of common themes, but some local crime issues that we're able then to draw up local plans on. What that led to in Reigate and Banstead was what the team there call a super joint action group. So a joint action group is something that we regularly do, but they escalated that up another level to include local MPs and influential people to see what everybody could bring to the table to help solve that problem.
That's very interesting. What are you expecting to hear this year?
Well, it's always interesting, and keep an open mind on what to hear this year. I think we'll hear something about the impact of the pandemic on how local communities have been feeling. I'm sure there will be themes around antisocial behaviour, because we've seen that reflected in the calls into our contact centre. Equally, I'm confident that we'll hear stories of where the local police teams have supported vulnerable people through the pandemic. And one of the things that always gives me a boost from such events is that, yes, there are things that we could do better and things that we could act on, but actually we also get many comments of thanks and support too, which gives us good motivation through difficult times.
Yes, indeed. There's always one question from the audience that throws me, hopefully only one, and I'm expecting that again, of course. But I think that what will be different this year, I think, from previous years, the support for Surrey Police and the desire to have a really good police service will be there this year, just as it always has been. But I think there'll be much more unease about the affordability aspect. We know that so many people have been financially very hard hit indeed by the coronavirus pandemic, and they won't want to pay a penny more in taxes than they have to. So I think we'll get a bit of pushback on the level of the council tax precept, which I think will be different from previous years.
About that, this 5.5% increase in tax that's currently out for consultation, if people say no to it in the consultation, what would happen?
It's a very interesting question, and what I'm thinking of very hard right now. The consultation is a genuine one. We want as many people to respond with honest answers as possible. And I personally pledged to take account of the people's responses in a very thorough way. For instance, we're expecting thousands of replies, and I'm going to be reading every single one of them, as I've done previously. But legally, the responsibility for setting the precept is with myself personally, and I will have to come to a very difficult decision in the light of the consultation as to what I recommend. I've said, I think, but it's my personal opinion, and I want to hear what people think about it, that 5.5% increase, that's £15 for a Band D household a year, is a price well worth paying for a much better police service. But it's up to residents. That recommendation, or whatever recommendation I finally come up with, will go to my police and crime panel. It's a panel composed mainly of councillors, which have the power to veto that. I think it's by a two-thirds majority. And then I've got to go back to them with a lower precept. So it's not just up to me, it's up to the police and crime panel, and we'll see what happens. But I'd like to end with, I promise you that any responses will go, and we'll get a mixture. Some people will say fine, some people will say not fine. It's where the balance is, but I promise you I will take it into very, very serious consideration. Why bother to consult otherwise?
Can I just ask one more thing about it? Is that okay?
Or... Yeah, and
of course.
Professional policing perspective as well, if that helps. So as the Commissioner has set out the sort of legal process and responsibility with the Office of the Police and Crime Commissioner and the Police and Crime Panel to set the policing budget, it's the responsibility of me as the Chief to explain the operational requirement and set out our ambitions and implications for having healthy finances for the future of the force. And what these sessions will give anybody coming along an opportunity to do is ask questions about that, and for me to explain operationally why I think we need that level of resource and what benefit it will bring to communities. And of course, the Commissioner's then responsibility to listen to those and reflect those in the legal process for taking the decision. But I firmly believe that there's a demand from local residents for a really good, excellent policing service across Surrey. We have the usual inflationary pressures of any organisation, and much more to do on solving crime, for example, or making sure that people really feel the presence of policing on their street. So I'll be available on the sessions to take any questions about the operational implications of the budget.
Interesting. What I want to ask was, you've got a specification, as it were, for what you would get out of a 5.5% increase. Could you give me an idea of what 5.5% would look like and what sort of 1 or 2% increase would look like?
I'll take that. Basically, a 2% increase would be as steady as you go, as far as the improvements paid for by the precept. We would still get our share of Boris's 20,000 extra police officers, but we wouldn't get anything other than that. A 5.5% increase, which is the maximum I'd be legally allowed to set, would give more police officers and staff, and which would make a real difference to communities. You'd see more officers and staff in your communities, and we'd be giving much more support to vulnerable groups such as victims. I'll leave it at that myself, because I'll ask the Chief Constable to go into more detail about the improvements in his force.
Yeah, so the I think there's two important points here that sometimes need a bit of explaining. So one is the distinction between police officers and police staff. And often the call from communities is that they want more officers, but actually there's a pretty even split in policing services between officers and staff. And some of the roles that people consider to be police officers are actually police staff. So our police community support officers are police staff, detention officers in custody, people doing forensics investigation, intelligence, There are lots of roles that are very frontline operational, essential roles for the running of the service, but are nevertheless police staff, and I think that's an important distinction to understand. The other thing to say is that even amongst all of this, we still have to make significant financial savings. So in the budget for next year, there are over £6 million of savings, and we need to do that to remain as efficient as we possibly can and to make sure that we're able to invest in those areas of policing that need additional resources. And there's a whole range of issues in there, from more officers to keep our roads safe, and we know that's a priority for our community to deal with dangerous driving on the roads. So us and our loved ones are safe travelling around the county, all the way through to dealing with very serious issues of trying to prevent rape and serious sexual offending, or prevent vulnerable children go missing, for example. So there's quite a lot in the proposals that we've put forward to the Police and Crime Commissioner, and a good opportunity at all of these events to ask detailed questions about those, which we can then answer.
And of course, a more detailed summary is available on my own website. Just Google Surrey PCC website or something like that, and it'll take you straight to the consultation where there's facilities to actually respond online. And of course, the consultation opened at the beginning of this week. We've already had a good spread of responses, and we're hoping for a lot more.
Excellent. Thank you both very, very much for your time.
No,
it's been a pleasure to be on Radio Jackie, and good luck.
Thank you. Okay. Goodbye.
Thanks very much. Bye.